on the last edition of Downtown with Rich Kimble.
Joined on the Tiller and Drive telephone line by the voice of the Pawtucket Red Sox and UMass football, Josh Maurer. Josh, welcome back.
I guess it is. You really have 2 weeks now until the trade deadline. And if you're going to make a move at the deadline, I think you have to obviously have the confidence that your team is in contention to at least garner one of the wild card spots. So if the Red Sox don't play well this week, and really if they don't make up some ground, I think, on the Yankees in the next 10 days, you never know what Ben Cherington and Larry Lucchino and all those guys decide to do. So it's a huge stretch.
Inside information, Maine's best guest list, and the home of smart sports talk. Live from Seasons Restaurant at 427 Main Street in Bangor. On the Pulse, AM 620, WZON, and online at WZONThePulse.com. This is Downtown with Rich Kimble.
Good afternoon. Welcome into a Thursday Downtown on the 16th of July. It is the 954th edition of Downtown. We're live in our Quality Jewelers broadcast studios at Seasons, 427 Main Street in Bangor. A special edition of the show this afternoon devoted to youth sports. More on that in just a moment. First, let's get a quick check on the headlines this afternoon. The British Open underway in the wee small hours of the morning today, and conditions, I would say, pretty favorable. Dustin Johnson, the leader in the clubhouse, at 7-under par with an opening round 65 today. A six-way tie at 6-under par, including Retief Goosen and Jordan Spieth trying to make it three straight majors, just two shots off the pace. He had an opening round 5-under par 67 today. A rough go for Tiger Woods as he carded a 4-over par 76 in the opening round at the Old Course at St. Andrews today, round one of the British Open. Last night, the Eastern League All-Star Game played down in Portland at Hadlock Field. And Stack, an interesting idea. They ended up deciding it on a home run derby at the end of the night.
Why not? Because the game doesn't matter.
Right.
When all is said and done, it means absolutely nothing, so it's a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of fun. Lobster Bowl going on this weekend down at Waterhouse Field. The team's practicing right now around the state of Maine. Tom Brady, no news on him yet today. Now, yesterday we told you the National Football League Players Association had said if Brady gets any suspension after the appeal is heard and decided upon by Commissioner Roger Goodell, that they would take the case to federal court. Albert Breer, NFL Network today on ESPN, said that may not be the case, that while the union has said that, Tom Brady has not said that yet, and ultimately will be Brady who makes that decision. And Breer suggested that the closer it gets to the start of training camp, the less likely Tom Brady would be to appeal any kind of suspension.
This is still very interesting. I'm still awaiting the decision, much like everyone else in New England is awaiting this appeal decision. But you got to imagine it's going to be coming fairly soon, within at least the next week, even though we thought it would be coming any day now.
We'll see what happens. We'll follow it closely for you and let you know if anything should happen during the course of the program today. Good news out of the University of Maine and more recognition for the women's basketball team and Liz Wood, who today was honored as the America East Female Scholar Athlete of the Year, the very epitome of a student-athlete, Liz Wood, getting it done for the Blackbears in America East this year. And big news in the broadcast world is something we talked about a couple of weeks ago and said was likely to happen. The announcement today that Colin Cowherd will be leaving ESPN radio and television after many years. The network offered him some money, but not as much as Fox Sports did. His role at Fox still undetermined, but one would guess some TV involved, perhaps more TV than radio for Colin Cowherd, whose ESPN contract expires at the end of the year. He becomes the third big name to leave the network after the departures of Bill Simmons and Keith Olbermann.
And the second big ESPN radio departure, too, with Scott Van Pelt moving to TV more.
Absolutely. That's a look at our headlines this afternoon. Brought to you by the Stray Dog. The dog is out and on the loose. Visit the Stray Dog food truck in their new location on the Bangor waterfront near Pompeii Pizza and Wild Cow Creamery. From the same people who bring you the great burgers, dogs, and more at the Family Dog in Orono, the Stray Dog has got specialty dogs, subs, and bombs with the quality that you've come to expect. The Stray Dog on the Bangor waterfront is open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 to 2 and at large events throughout the Bangor area. For updated locations, menus, and more, find the Stray Dog on Facebook or visit StrayDogTruck.com. StrayDogWaterfront.com and circle your calendar for next Tuesday. Come on down to the Stray Dog on the Waterfront, and from 11 to 2, I will serve you your food. I'll be working there that day. 10% of the proceeds will benefit our friends at the Bangor Humane Society. Downtown presented each afternoon by Hollywood Casino, Hotel, and Raceway at 500 Main Street in downtown Bangor. Well, this is a very special program here on Downtown as we're devoting the entire 2 hours to a discussion of youth sports. We've got some wonderful guests on the show and some great people here in studio with us as well who'll be serving as the co-host for the program this afternoon. Let's introduce them. To my left, and you can see that on the radio, of course, to my left, from the Bangor Parks and Recreation Department, a guy who's been working in youth sports for better than two decades, Tim Bowdy. Tim, thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me, Rich. I think this is such an important program for us to bring forward to everybody. I'm real happy to be here.
And to my right, a former dean of the College of Education at the University of Maine, a former coach himself, and one of the fathers of the Sports Done Right program in the state of Maine, Dr. Robert Cobb. Bob, welcome.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here, Rich.
We've got some great guests on the show today. Just a couple of minutes, we'll connect with Bob Bigelow, former NBA player who has been a lecturer on the subject of youth sports for a couple of decades now. Later in the program, Paris Rossignol from the University of Maine women's basketball team. Bob Walsh, the Maine men's coach. Duke Albanese, your former partner in crime at Sports Done Right, former education commissioner, former coach, now working on the Great Schools Project. And Tom Ferry of ESPN. He's also with the Aspen Institute's Project Play, the author of as good a book as I've ever read on youth sports, Game On, the All-American Race to Make Champions of Our Children. Also, throughout the program today, our phone lines are open for you at 992-2400, 992-2400. If you have any questions or comments, you can also post them on the Facebook page at Downtown with Rich Kimball. Right now, I want to welcome into the program a former NBA player, graduate of the University of Pennsylvania, author of the book Just Let the Kids Play, and a longtime lecturer and clinician all around the country in dealing with youth sports. Bob Bigelow, welcome to Downtown.
I am here. Hey, how's life in Bangor? Beautiful day, I bet.
It is an absolutely picture-perfect day. It's one of those Chamber of Commerce
days. Don't you wish we could mimeograph about 40 more of these in the next 40 days?
I would like that, except maybe save a few for a little bit later on in the late fall and early winter.
Well, for you guys, maybe October 15th.
Well, Bob, we wanted to start the program out with you because you've been doing this for such a long time, and you get rave reviews for your presentations.
Yes, Tom Perry will probably tell you too long.
Well, let's start with the basic question here. What's the biggest problem in youth sports today?
Well, I've been asked this question by the media, 5,392 times the last 25 years of my life. And the biggest problem in organized youth sports is pretty simple, is too many adult egos get in the way.
So
it is a concept that is brought by adults, fostered by adults. Unfortunately, when you bring adults along, unfortunately, you have to bring along their egos. And when you start mixing adult egos into kids' games, you can have some troubles, as we've all witnessed.
And part of that,
many years.
Part of that too, Bob, is because look, nobody. I've always said nobody wants to be that parent. Nobody wants to mess things up for their kids. But often parents.
Yeah, just about nobody. It's not entirely 100%, but I agree with you. It's the vast majority.
But parents do what they think is best for the kids. The problem becomes what parents think is best may not be what the kids want.
That has been well documented for four or five decades in this country. There were studies done in the 60s about this and studies done in the 70s and 80s. So this is not news in our world. But as I said, it's always been the clash of adult needs and kids' needs. And if you have the concept being run by adults, the chances are the adult needs will sometimes trump the kids' needs.
Bob, that's so true. This is Bob Cobb speaking. That is so true. And I have a friend.
By the way, did we run across each other like in the mid-90s?
Yes, we did. You were up here at our invitation. That's right. And I certainly remember.
You guys have been after this for a long time. I remember you did some of this stuff in the 70s, right?
That's exactly right. Back in 1977, we sponsored a conference entitled Competition and the Child. And it was an attempt to get at just what you were talking about, the role of adults in structuring play for kids and the importance of kids to structure their own play.
And God, Bob, 1977, you and I were like 12 years old. We were young starting this stuff.
We were young. We were giving the kids' point of view at that time.
Oh, jeez. Well, Bob, welcome aboard, and good to talk to you again.
Thanks. Likewise.
We've got Tim Bowdy here as well from Bangor Parks and Recreation, and you've crossed paths through the years as well.
Yep. I've had the opportunity to listen to Bob speak and follow a lot of his philosophies and the things that he's brought forward. We bring back to the Parks and Recreation Department in trying to make it a great experience for all the kids involved, obviously, while trying to keep everybody else reined in as we go.
So, hey, Tim, you'd be happy to know that I have probably spoken to or met, you know, 5,000 park and recreation people around the country. And I think I've run into, in 25 years, two rogues who didn't get it. I'm assuming you're not one of those rogues.
I'm not one of the rogues, and you don't have to name the two if you don't want to.
If we could fill the country a little more with the park and recreation philosophy, we'd all be better off, for sure.
Well, and part of that, too, is when you talk about fun, Bob, do fun and competition have to be mutually exclusive?
Not necessarily. It's one of the challenges. I mean, if anybody has ever studied the word compete, I'm sure, Bob, I know the academics have. I mean, the word compete means strive with. That's the Greek roots. But the problem with competition, it's been absolutely been usurped the last 30 years by Nike. So what they did is they got on TV with all the athletes and they said, hey, if you're first, great. If you're second, you know, go suck eggs. So they've taken this whole nature of competition and made it almost a pejorative word, which it isn't. Competition's great, as anybody will tell you who's lived long enough, you know, Bob and Tim. Some of my greatest competitions took place without any adults around. I was 12 years old, 10 years old, and playing with other kids. They were great competitions.
Really, what we strive to achieve is competition. Yeah, without conflict.
Thing is, if you leave kids alone and let them play their own games, the last thing they're going to do is unbalance the teams. Mm. So, you know, one team is winning 10 to nothing. Kids have amazing ability to balance the teams. Because
no one
wants to play in a pickup game where someone's getting slaughtered. Either the slaughterers or the slaughterees.
Exactly, Bob. And I think we see this a lot with a lot of organized sports where we'll have one or two teams that tend to go far and beyond the others, and we keep it that way because the adults want to keep it that way. Whereas, you know, if the bunch of kids were playing, just as you said, they'd switch up teams. Why don't you take Bobby, you take Sally, and we'll make the teams equal. They figure
something
it out quicker than we do.
Something I did a thousand times in my, my youth sports career, when youth sports meant unorganized. It meant us other kids and no adults around. I've always used what I call the two-thirds, one-third rule. I mean, you know, people have accused me of being mamby-pamby and want everybody 500. And, I mean, that's a laudable goal and noble. But I've always said, if you're a little league or a soccer league and the best team wins two-thirds of their game and the worst team wins one-third of their games, that's a pretty good distribution. The problem is, if you have an 18-game Little League season and the two best teams are 18-0 and 16-2, and the two worst teams are 0-16 or 0-18, whatever, and 2-16, that's not right. That's up to the adults to change it.
We're talking with Bob Bigelow.
I would bet
here
the adults of the two best teams are probably not willing to change it.
Well, so, Bob, I wonder this, and we're all old enough to have grown up in that environment where there were pickup games where you learned your sport without the benefit of adults around. Can we ever get back to that? Because I drive around, I walk around, and I see empty playgrounds, empty baseball fields, empty basketball courts. Have we structured youth sports so much that kids can't play now without adults?
Well, there's two things working against that, noble goal. Number one, what I call childhood electronics. Mm. We don't have to get into that. There are plenty of other play alternatives these days, which have nothing to do with going to a playground. It has everything to do with putting something in your hands and using your thumbs. The second piece of that is, pretty simply, is in the last 40, 50 years, with the advent of single-parent families and wanting to do something with our kids that are organized during the non-school hours, into the void has crept organized kids' activities, of which, of course, the one we're talking about today, sports, is a very large one. So I don't think we can go back to the playground days, although I have advocated, and I've seen this, not enough of it around the country, where there are good adults out there that will gather the kids on the playground. You know, they'll organize the activity. I call it the sort of elementary school recess, where they'll get the kids and the balls and the bats or whatever and let the kids have their own pickup game. You know, the adults will be there in a supervisory capacity only. That has happened.
Well, we'd
love,
love
to see a lot more of it, but hey, baby steps.
I was talking with a fellow from Central Maine over the weekend, and he's a former coach and athletic director at the high school level. And in his backyard, he built a marvelous baseball field. And he did it primarily for his own family, but they've grown up and left. And he makes that available to any kid in the town with just one condition, no adults. And he says he has...
Gee, he doesn't have to hire umpires. Hey,
right.
Field of Dreams, 2.0. I love it.
Although I
don't know if they're corn stalks in the outfield, but hey, sounds good to me.
Although I worked in a middle school for many years, and we did an open gym one winter and said to the kids, okay, here are the basketballs, pick your teams. They didn't know how to do it. And then,
yeah, of course.
And then said, they said, who'll be the referees? And we said, call your own fouls. They had no idea how to do that. They were lost.
Call your own out of bounds?
Yeah.
How do I do that?
Can't do that. That's too much.
Yeah. Actually, a few years ago when I was actually with the Orono Parks and Recreation Department, we created some days. They were called Come and Play. And a couple days a week, we'd bring the equipment out and let the kids just try to, you know, pick up games, whatever it was they wanted to do. And we ran into the same things, Rich. You know, the kids not really sure how to do it. I mean, I remember the days of going out and playing. There'd be five of us to play a baseball game. Okay, if you hit it to left field, it's a strike. If you know,
right.
And you made up your rules. And we do. We just don't see that as much as we should anymore. And again, I think, Bob, you're right about the use of electronics and that. And, yeah, they just don't use – they're not out there doing it anymore.
There are diversions. It's funny. My younger son is now 22. And I remember this crystal clear. When he was seven, I got to be, I probably pounded my fist at a table somewhere, I got to be the second grade boys spring soccer coordinator. Basically because no one else wanted to do it. It was 2, 3, and 4 in the afternoon after school. Everybody else was doing a real job, I guess, and I wasn't. I was speaking at night. So what I would do is take the 24 kids each hour. There was one at 3, one at 4. And they would come down near the lake in our town, and I would put them in teams of four. First eight played the first game, no goalkeeper, and then the second eight and the third eight. And, of course, it was next to a lake, which meant 7, 8-year-old boys, all they wanted to do was kick the ball in the lake, which is what they do at that age. And all I would do is say, go ahead, play. You know, 4 and 4, first eight and the whole bit. So inevitably, because at that age, the ball goes out of bounds every 3.2 seconds. One would come to me, one of the boys, say, hey, Mr. Bigelow, who did it go out on? And I'd say, Jimmy, I have no idea. I wasn't watching. Figure it out for yourself. So the kids would stare at each other for probably 3 to 5 seconds. And then Jimmy would say to Billy, okay, your ball. Or Billy would say to Jimmy, your ball. I'll get the next one. Which, of course, is what we did a generation earlier. We played pickup. And all the moms, there were no dads, all the moms would drop the kid off, said, how can one guy like you control 24 kids? I said, I'm not controlling them. They're just playing a game. And every now and then we'd go chase a ball in the lake.
Well,
imagine that.
I like the sound
of
that.
And believe me, those kids had plenty of fun and plenty of competition.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, we appreciate your efforts in this area for so many years, and we appreciate you making time for us to kick things off here this afternoon. Continued success, and thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me. Always good to talk to folks in Bangor.
Bob Bigelow. Joining us on Downtown. We're 24 after 5 o'clock. Still to come, we've got Paris Rossignol from the Maine women's basketball team, former education commissioner Duke Albany's Maine men's basketball coach Bob Walsh, Tom Ferry of ESPN, the Aspen Institute as well. It's a special edition of Downtown talking youth sports today. We'll take a break. When we come back, we've got some comments here from Bob and Tim. Steve McKay will have the weather, too, in about 5 minutes. You're listening to Downtown on the Pulse, AM 620 WZON.
Kia's Summer on Us sale is heating up at Van Sickle Kia. Peter Van Sickle, tell us more.
We've got hot savings, up to $4,000 off MSRP, plus 0% financing, and we'll even make your first three payments when you buy any new 2015 Kia Optima, Forte, or Sedona minivan.
Wow, that's a lot of savings, and you won't have any car payments for 3 months?
You've got it. Save up to $4,000 off MSRP, and you'll save even more with 0% financing for 66 months. Then just sit back and enjoy your payment-free summer.
Every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, the best in the business. $4,000 savings. Example, 2015 Kia Optima stock number OP556. Must finance through Kia Motor Finance and qualify for all factory rebates. Not all customers will qualify. Ends July 6th. See dealer for details.
At Van Sickle Kia in Bangor, this summer's payments are on us. More car, more value, less money. I'm Peter Van Sickle. I guarantee it.
The best things in life are free.
Take a trip down the red carpet. You'll discover a dazzling place where stardom becomes you. There's no place like Hollywood. Hollywood Casino Hotel and Raceway Bangor. Visit us at HollywoodCasinoBangor.com. Persons under 21 may not enter the gaming area unless licensed employees. Do you or anyone you know have a gambling problem? For help, services, and counseling, please call 1-800-522-4700. Main residence contact 211 for information and resources.
It's important to be able to trust your local jeweler. And at Quality Jewelers, you're treated like family. If you need repair work or want to trade in your old gold, our master jewelers can provide same-day service, whether it's sizing your new engagement ring within 20 minutes or taking your old gold and creating a one-of-a-kind custom-designed piece. Quality Jewelers is your trusted jeweler, locally owned and operated. Quality Jewelers at the Penobscot Plaza in Bangor and at qualityjewelers.com.
Looking for a great place to enjoy dining? Try the Bangor Dining Room at Seasons. How about the best place to watch your favorite teams? Try the Sports Lounge. Two distinct atmospheres, one sensational place. Located at 427 Main Street in Bangor. Need a place for a group or family event? Call 992-2250 for showers, rehearsal dinners, special luncheons, and sports parties. Our on-site broadcast booth allows you to enjoy the Downtown with Rich Kimball show. Located just two blocks from the Hollywood Casino, the Cross Insurance Center, and find us online at seasonsbangor.com. Fans, food, fun, Seasons.
Do we ever agree on anything?
We both like the Bangor Mall Cinema 10.
The cozy stadium seating.
I like the bargain prices for all shows on Tuesday.
Hot buttered popcorn and candy.
The Dolby and digital surround sound is perfect.
I think I'll have a birthday party there for the kids.
I've got two tickets.
I hope one of them's for me.
So we can check out that action movie.
No, romance. Comedy.
At Bangor Mall Cinema 10 at 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Call 942-1303 or visit online at your neighborhoodtheater.com.
It's 28 minutes after 4 o'clock here on Downtown, a special edition devoted to youth sports this afternoon. Rich Kimball here with Bob Cobb, the former dean of the College of Education at the University of Maine. Tim Bowdy from the Bangor Parks and Recreation Department. Bob Bigelow with us as well. We'll talk with Paris Rossignol from women's basketball here in just a few minutes. Some interesting thoughts there from Bob on this. And Dean Cobb, we know this, certainly. We're seeing a decline in participation in every sport from kids, and they're giving up sport at an earlier age. And, of course, that has ramifications later in life in a nation that's already dealing with an obesity problem.
That's for sure. Although there are schools that are enjoying participation rates exceeding 80-90% in at least one sport in a season. So we can't paint them all with the same brush. On the other hand, I think there is a preponderance of evidence that kids are leaving sport way too soon. And clearly some of it is a direct result of burnout. And they start so early, and their practices and games and seasons are so intense that they just burn out. The other thing that happens is that their body, their joints that are in such, they're in a growth dimension a good share of the time in their early years, and the growth places stress on the muscles and the joints. And then you add excessive activity in a sport that calls for the same kind of movement, the same kind of motions, their bodies are breaking down early.
And on that same thing, Bob, I think you make a good point. A lot of the talk has been about all the Tommy John surgeries that we're seeing, you know, right. around the minor leagues and major leagues. The kids are starting at 8 years old, throwing off the mound, same arm angle, same arm slot from 8 years old. They're not throwing the football. They're not skipping rocks. They're not doing a lot of other activities. So I feel like same thing with a running back, only having so many runs in them. The arm only has so many throws in them. And if they're in that same angle nonstop, and without that cross-training, that's where I think we see a lot more injuries.
Tim, let me ask you this, too, in terms of participation. You've been working in Parks and Recreation departments either in Bangor or Orono for more than 20 years now. Are you seeing a drop-off in the number of kids who participate in your activities?
Our drop-off tends to come in that fourth and fifth grade level. Our kindergarten first graders, you get a lot of, you know, we do a lot of instruction stuff, and that's great. Second and third starts to grow, and then by that fourth and fifth grade, we see the biggest decline and drop off. And again, it's not all because of over sport use or whatever, and some of it is just they've decided, hey, I want to do drama, I want to do music, and maybe some other activities. And I always make a point of it when I talk with my parents to tell them to let their children do as many things as long as they can. You know, mm-hmm. if they want to do basketball, great. But you know, if they want to be in a play that during the winter too, be in a play, and try to become a well-rounded child, well-rounded person at that age, and not. It's not about getting that scholarship at the end while you're playing, you know, a fourth and fifth grade basketball game. I often tell them, you know, that you kids aren't going to be asked how you did in your fourth and fifth grade basketball game at your job interview. However, what you learn at fourth and fifth grade may help you get that job when you go for it.
Absolutely. That's a great point. And I want to talk more on that topic of scholarships, too, with Bob after the weather here, because this is the state of Maine. We're not producing a tremendous amount of Division I athletes here in Maine, and I want to talk about that from a college perspective in just a moment. First, though, we're going to take a little break and get a check on the weather on this gorgeous Thursday afternoon. The weather brought to you by Van Sickle Kia, where summer is on them. News Center Steve McKay joins us. Hi, Steve.
I say perfection. What do you say?
It's about as good a day as you could order up for me, sir.
Goodness gracious. Very low dew points, a nice little breeze out there, a crystal clear blue sky. Yowzas. It's beautiful out there. Let me check around the state here. 74 is where we are in Bangor with some sunshine. 76 says Portland. You ask folks their perfect weather conditions, many would say lower to mid-70s with sunshine and low humidity. That is precisely where we are right now, folks. It's a good dimension. I think by tomorrow morning we'll be looking at some chilly temps and maybe some record-breaking temps with a clear sky tonight and a light wind, radiation of cooling. Temperatures are going to take a dip. The record low for tomorrow in Bangor is 49, which it was established in 1987, and we may be very close to that in the morning, so we'll have to wait and see on that. In the meantime, clear sky for tonight, 40s, lower 50s with a light wind. During the day tomorrow, sunshine with the building cloud cover, but not until very late in the day, mid-70s for the high. Once again, winds will be light, a day much like today. Now, the weekend is unsettled, guys. Saturday and Sunday, mostly cloudy both days. Scattered showers, no prolonged periods of rain, so it shouldn't ruin outdoor activity. Look for lower 70s on Saturday. Sunday, a little bit warmer, a little bit of a sunshine breaking out in the afternoon with a chance of a scattered shower or thunder shower. Daytime highs mid to upper 70s. And then on Monday, partly to mostly cloudy, risk of shower. So, hey, enjoy the sunshine tomorrow. You won't see it much on Saturday. It should come back in the afternoon on Sunday with a chance of a scattered shower or thunder shower. So I think the best way to describe the weekend weather is unsettled.
Well, then we'll focus on what's settled here for the next 24 hours or so and
sure.
love every minute of it, right?
Kind of like watching the Red Sox, kind of unsettled experience.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Hey, loving the conversation today, folks. Thanks so much for sharing it with us, and keep it up.
Thank you, Steve. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
That's News Center Steve McKay. The weather is brought to you by Van Sickle Kia, where summer is on them at vansickle.com. We remind you, too, the guests of the show are heard on the Tiller and Rye telephone line. Big things going on tonight, just a few minutes over at Tiller and Rye and Brewer. It's a special tasting with Gagan Brothers Brewing tonight from 5 to 7. Now, you can buy Gagan's bottles anytime at Tiller and Rye, but Thursday evening, that's tonight, stop by to sample the local brews for yourself while checking out Tiller and Rye's selection of locally grown produce, local meats, and more. A Gagan Brothers Brewing Tasting starts in minutes at 5 o'clock until 7 at Tiller and Rye on the corner of Main and Wilson Streets in Brewer. You stay here, Mr. Bowdy. It's 4:35. We'll take a break for Pulse News. Come back with more of our special edition downtown talking youth sports today on the Pulse AM 620 WZON.
Hi, this is Don Felder, and you're listening to Downtown with Rich Kimball.